BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. I'm sure it's an especially happy Monday if you're an Eagles fan or just not a Chiefs fan. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program, and hope it's starting off well for you. It is a little icy out there. If you're heading out this morning, just be aware that there's some black ice spots out there. But for the most part, the roads were pretty good coming in. Got to be thankful that this snow came at a time that we had plenty of time to clear it out, really, before people had to get to work and school and all of that. But there's more snow on the way this week. Well, more wet weather. Exactly what happens with it, we will wait and see. But we have certainly a weather pattern here coming up where there's four storms on the way. Right now, the only one that we can predict anything on is the one that's coming Tuesday and Wednesday, and looks like that one is going to be offshore enough that it won't bring us any significant snow. So that's a good sign. So did you watch the game last night? I started watching it, and I was ready to turn it off very early because something's going on with my Comcast where I can't get a good signal. And of course, you know, you try to troubleshoot it and they're like, well, check your cables, replace your cables. I have all brand new cables, all highest rated and, you know, 8K cables. The problem is definitely on Xfinity's end, but, you know, they're not going to admit that because then I might be able to tell them I want a break on my bill. But I ended up going to the Tubi app. Now, I knew it was going to be on Tubi, but I was under the impression that Tubi would be feeding its own ads and that you wouldn't see the Super Bowl commercials. But I guess it was just the regular Fox broadcast on Tubi. So I watched it on that instead and got probably a better picture than I would have if I was watching it on regular Xfinity. So the game itself was, I mean, I guess it wasn't a great game overall. Unless you wanted to see the Chiefs lose, then you like seeing them getting dominated. The commercials were a disappointment. Of course, there was the expected complaining about the halftime show. But it was really the commercials that surprised me the most when they're charging $8 million for a 30-second spot, and that was some of the best creative people could come up with. So I guess maybe the bubble has burst a little bit on the Super Bowl ads, especially when you consider so many of them get released ahead of time that it's not really that special watching them within the game anymore. So, I don't know what the viewership numbers were. We'll probably get some of that info later today. But I'm going to guess it dropped down significantly in the second half. And definitely in the fourth quarter. As for the presentation of the game, I thought it was fine. I thought Fox's camera angles and graphics and all that were totally fine. Tom Brady was better than he was in his first game of the season, which was the last time that I listened to Tom Brady call a game. I just didn't get to watch much football this season. But still had some grating moments. And the fact that, and I don't know why this bothered me, but the fact that he never referred to Patrick Mahomes as Mahomes. It was Patrick every single time. And I get it. They are probably friends. They know each other. But it just got grating after a while. As somebody who covered sports, wrote sports, you know, I'm well aware of using people's last names. And I guess it probably hits my ear a little bit differently than it might the average person. But again, we can take your thoughts. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app. Also today, we have the launch of the voting period for the South Coast Cutest Couples. We're trying to determine who is the cutest of all. We got some really great entries. And you can see them all at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And after you're done scrolling through all the photos, at the bottom is your ballot to vote for your favorite. And the winner is going to get a $250 gift card. And the Cutest Couples Contest is brought to you by Paradise Jewelers, Frontera Grill, and Festiva Buffet. Some of the couples, I'm assuming, submitted photos of them in Halloween costumes or cosplay, but maybe that's how they dress every day. I'm not going to judge. Actually, you're going to judge. And as I was putting all that together and I realized we've got couples who have been together for a year, couples who have been together for 50 years. So you've really got your work cut out for you in voting there. Also later on today in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We'll talk with him about things that are going on with the council and in the city, and take your phone calls with him as well. One of the big stories that the news was actually broke here on WBSM during South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy is that South Coast Rail is going to start earlier than expected. So it's weird saying that considering how it's starting later than originally planned. But because of the delays that happened, they had finally put an expected start date of May of this year. And then Senator Mark Montigny was on with Chris on Friday briefly and mentioned that it's going to be earlier than expected, but he didn't have the exact date yet. And then they reached out to us after they heard back from the MBTA with a date of March 24th. So really, like 6 weeks from now, you'll be able to take the train from New Bedford to Boston. By the way, speaking of New Bedford, I don't know if you caught this, but in the ABC News, New Bedford got a mention at the top of the hour, the national news. When they were talking about the snow, they said clearing sidewalks in New Bedford, the race to clear sidewalks in New Bedford. Now, Christina Schell, who pat us yesterday as having 4.5 inches reported. I don't know if that changed since the last time I looked. But that's still pretty significant. I don't know if it's make ABC News significant, but we'll take it. So yeah, South Coast Rail is going to start sooner than expected. I don't know if there are still people that don't believe it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. There's a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at the Freetown Elementary School to discuss some of the next steps. And I think this is, you know, tonight is when the MBTA will officially announce that March 24th date, but we got that info ahead of time. So what's going to happen? What will you be able to do on South Coast Rail? Well, there'll be 32 trips every day to and from South Station, including 17 to and from New Bedford. It'll also run on the weekends with 26 trips planned on the weekend. And there'll be late night service. So the day's last trains will leave Boston just before midnight. And that's huge. Because a train that leaves just before midnight means you can go to a Red Sox game and take the train home. Now, you're going to get home at, you know, 1:30 in the morning, but you didn't have to park. You didn't have to deal with traffic. You could probably catch some Z's on the way home. And it's $12.25 one way, and weekends are $10 flat. So this got a lot more exciting for me as somebody who hates having to pay to park when I go to the city for anything. This could be a big game changer. How much people will utilize it for daily commuting, I don't know. But I think those weekend trains will be a big benefit. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Just trying to fix my TV here in the studio. I don't know what somebody did to this TV. There we go. I got it. Trying to get the weather here for you so we can give you the latest, and then it was cutting everything off. I don't know who messed with this, but they're going to get an earful when they come in tonight. Because it's precariously placed and somebody pulled this thing all the way out. Like, no. There's a sign right next to it that says, please do not move the television. So if you hear a crashing sound, that's our precariously placed television on the wall coming crashing down. So as I've said all along, you know, I'm excited to be able to take South Coast Rail into Boston. I don't want to be on the first train necessarily. And I kept saying that, but, you know, now I would be. Because of all this testing that they've done, that first train ride is going to be just as safe as the next one. But it's for real. It's happening. It's coming. There's no denying it anymore. There's no I'll believe it when I see it. The Church Street station is open. Like, they removed the fencing from it. For a long time, they had fencing kind of gating it off so you couldn't get in, because I kept going over there trying to take some photos. And now the fencing is removed. At least it was when I drove by after bowling the other night. And, of course, the pedestrian bridge is still in the works of being completed. I don't know if they'll have that done by March 24th. That might be a question for tonight's meeting, which I will not be attending. I'm not feeling too great. I'm hoping to make it through the day here today. But that'll be a question for the MBTA officials. You know, we know that what's left to do is the elevator and some of the exterior work on the bridge. So as long as they get the elevator completed, the rest of it is still things that could be done while people are utilizing it. Going to take a break here, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in just a few moments. Well, Phil Devitt doesn't want to rule the world. He just wants to tell you about what's going on in it. And we're going to turn things over to him right now in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump widens his attack on wasteful spending. Not the vacation Royal Caribbean cruisers were hoping for. And what was in your cup last night?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is expanding his wasteful spending probes to include the Department of Education and the military. In a pre-Super Bowl interview with Fox News, Trump said he's directing Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency to expand its probe of fraud, waste, and abuse in the federal government.
Well, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of money that's going to places where it shouldn't be going, where if I read a list, you'd say this is ridiculous, and you've read the same lists, and there are many that you haven't even seen. It's crazy.
Trump said the funding freeze for the U.S. Agency for International Development is only the beginning, and he expects to find hundreds of billions of dollars in wasteful military spending as well. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will visit the Middle East next week. The State Department says Rubio will make his first trip to Israel and the Arab states and will also travel to the Munich Security Conference in Germany. His trip comes after President Trump unveiled his plan to have the U.S. take control of the Gaza Strip and relocate Palestinians to neighboring countries. The plan was quickly condemned by Arab countries and human rights groups. California Senator Adam Schiff calling for firefighters to be exempt from the ongoing federal hiring freeze. President Trump's executive order halted onboarding for thousands of firefighters, and Schiff says it could contribute to staffing issues ahead of the next fire season. Schiff wrote a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees the U.S. Forest Service, imploring them to exempt federal firefighters. This comes after last month's wildfires in California killed at least 29 people, with U.S. Forest Service firefighters credited for saving multiple neighborhoods. A Royal Caribbean cruise ship has docked in Florida with more than 90 sick passengers on board. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Saturday most of the symptoms on the ship docked in Tampa were vomiting and diarrhea and lasted 24 hours. Officials have ruled out the norovirus, the CDC still investigating. Football fans may have noticed the end zones looked a bit different. Last night during the Super Bowl, the NFL said it removed the words "end racism" from the end zones at Caesars Superdome in New Orleans before the big game. Instead, the field featured the phrase "choose love." The game last night was the first Super Bowl since February of 2021 where "end racism" was not used in the end zone. An NFL spokesperson said the phrase is the most fitting following the recent tragedies the country has encountered. And did you drink anything last night? The top drink for Americans on Super Bowl Sunday is traditionally beer, but this year, more Americans apparently chose an alternative. Non-alcoholic beverage sales in the U.S. surged 26% in the past year, topping $800 million. Traditional alcohol sales fell for the first time in 3 years by less than 1%. Most popular alternative for alcohol is non-alcoholic beer, making 84% of total sales in the non-alcoholic beverage category. Research firm Bernstein found that Bud Zero, Athletic Brewing, and Heineken 0.0 are the top three non-alcoholic beverage brands.
WBSM Sports.
How about that Super Bowl? Philadelphia Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs last night, 40-22, final score. Boston Celtics in Miami to play the Heat at 7:30 tonight. Bruins back on the 22nd when they play the Anaheim Ducks.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and a high near 32 degrees for your Monday here on the South Coast. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow again, especially here along the coastline, a high of 33. On Wednesday, partly cloudy, high near 35. And on Thursday, a wintry mix likely with a high around 37 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Talk to me at 508-996-0500, as well as on app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I'm fighting through whatever I have today, so if I sound a little bit less energetic, please forgive me. Woke up Saturday morning and felt fine when I woke up. And then within like an hour or so of waking up, started to feel like a little bit of a stomach ache, and that led to nausea and vomiting. And then I just went, said, you know what? I'm going to bed. Stayed in my bed from about 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon until 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Might've been 9. And then slept again a couple times during the day and went to bed right after the game. And definitely have a cold coming on, but you know, it's funny because Lamone called us last week and mentioned that he had the flu followed by pneumonia. And I happened to see an article last night that talked about an outbreak in Las Vegas of what they were calling flumonia. So I guess it could be worse than, you know, having, and I'm pretty sure that whatever my stomach ache was, I think it was more food related than it was anything else, because I had no other symptoms. But and I had eaten a reheated burger from the fridge, that maybe that, you know, played into it. But anyway, we were talking about the game last night, and participation trophy wife says her highlights were Lady Gaga's pregame, Little Warrior Declan and Bradley Cooper's Eagles chant, Kendrick's jeans, and Philadelphia fans stealing a stoplight, post and all. I mean, that was kind of the joke going around yesterday, is no matter what happens, win or lose, you could depend on Philadelphia fans rioting. But I, like I said, I went to bed right after the game, so hopefully it wasn't too bad. And I think that the, you know, the Eagles fans are a passionate fan base no matter where they are. The people that are all over, not just those who live in Philly. And I'm glad that they got this championship. I mean, I didn't really want to see the Chiefs three-peat. I'm kind of sick of them, kind of over them. And it was time for another team to win and take them down. So I guess this kind of kills that narrative that the NFL is fixed and one of the Chiefs to win and one of them the three-peat. But that Lady Gaga performance at the beginning, during the pregame, that was very powerful. And I noticed that as, you know, they're walking down, I guess it was Bourbon Street, you saw Tom Brady kind of leading the way, but also Roger Goodell was there, but he was next to Strahan. He didn't walk next to Tom Brady. I don't know if there's anything to read into that. But I thought the game overall did a great job of honoring, you know, some of the bad things that have happened in New Orleans while also giving the people a reason to celebrate. The other part of it, too, was, you know, New Orleans knows how to throw a party, even on a random night. Like, I was there on a random weekend in May, and it was pretty crazy. So I can only imagine, you know, what it's like when the Super Bowl is there. But from all accounts, it seems like everything went off without a hitch. So that's good. So we can talk about that. We can talk about this South Coast Rail announcement that is coming earlier than expected. There was also a story, I don't know if you caught it, it came out late Friday. But yesterday was the last day of business for Rico's Pizza in Dartmouth. So this is the restaurant that had taken over the former Buster's space after it had sat empty since the pandemic. If you remember, you know, Buster's was open for a little bit during the pandemic when all the other restaurants were shut down, but didn't stay open for very long. And then it just sat dormant. And the owner, Mike Panagakis, kept saying, you know, no, I'm not selling the property. We're going to find the right tenant. And then about a year ago, it was a little over a year ago, it was announced that Rico's would move in. And they didn't even make it a year from the time that they opened. But they're going to be reopening soon with a new concept, a new menu, and a new name. So these folks were franchisees of this chain of these hot oil pizzas, and I guess it just didn't catch on. And a lot of people commenting that their menu was just too limited. It was basically pizza, wings, and salad. And so now they're going to be rebranding. They're going to be reopening with a new menu. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And will they keep some of what made them different when they first opened? I don't know how much you can keep those recipes if you're no longer branded as part of that chain, but maybe they have their own take on pizzas. But we'll let you know what they're planning as soon as we know. But right now you can just read about what's going on over there at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But they did say that Super Bowl Sunday would be their last day under their current name and that they'd be closing to kind of revamp everything. So I don't think this counts as a restaurant closure per se. I think this counts more as a restaurant pivot. Because they realize that, you know, what they're doing isn't working, but they're not ready to pack it in yet. They want to give it another go. So I mean, I'm going to be honest, I never went there when it was Rico's. I never got a hot oil pizza. People told me I had to go try it, and I never did. Just never got around to it. And then over the weekend, I was like, well, maybe I'll get one now since it'll be my last chance. And then, you know, wasn't feeling well, so that plan went out the window. But are you sad to see it go, or are you excited to see a new concept come in its place? 508-996-0500. Let's take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Hey, baby. Yeah. I might be one of the only people that prefers 80s heart to 70s heart. I mean, yeah, I mean, I love 70s heart too, but I like the songs from the 80s even more. And oddly enough, that might be my favorite. Probably Alone, but that one's pretty close, which is kind of like a throwaway for a lot of people. I had a Heart's Greatest Hits one time that didn't even have that song on it. It's like, what? So, and I had the chance to see them a few years ago in Worcester. Phenomenal show. They played, what's that theater there? The Hanover Theater. And just a great venue, great show. So I'm actually compiling a list of some of the smaller theaters and clubs and music venues. And if you've got one that you want to suggest, let me know. Tim@WBSM.com or send me an app chat message. Because we have so many of them, but I think people don't really realize they're there until there's an artist that they want to see that's playing there. You know, as I said last week, I've gone recently to the Spire Center in Plymouth, to the District Center for the Arts in Taunton, and these are like cool venues. We know we have the Vault here in New Bedford. We have the Narrow Center in Fall River. We often have guests on who are playing the Music Room on the Cape in Yarmouth, West Yarmouth. And we're going to have more guests in the future from there, working on a few things. But these are great places to go and see live entertainment that folks just aren't aware of. Like, you know, City Winery in Plymouth, in Boston. That's a great venue that has some pretty interesting acts that most people don't even know exists. It's pretty easy to get to right off the highway. There's a parking garage a block away. It's a great place to go see a show. And it's an intimate setting. So if you know some places like that, some places that you like to frequent, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com, or send me an app chat message and let me know about it, because I'm going to be compiling this list, probably put some photos of each venue as well, to give people an idea of what they can expect. I just remember, you know, when I was younger, there were tons of venues like this, but I never really went out at night. I never really went out to see the bands that were in these places. You know, I didn't go see Dave Matthews Band at Lupo's before they hit it big. I didn't go out and see the swing bands that were all over Providence back in the 90s. But now I like seeing them when they come around and play these smaller venues. So it seems like there's a good amount of them. I just want to make sure I can, you know, get as many in there as I can. You know, even places like the Hanover Theater, like the Chevalier Theater in Medford, the Cabot in Beverly, the Stadium in Woonsocket. The Stadium has a lot of great acts, and that's a really cool venue that's also pretty easy to get to. Ample parking around. Restaurants that are open when you get out of the show. But I bet a lot of people around here don't even know about it. I think that was the biggest theater we ever performed my stage show that I did with my friends. I think that's the biggest one we ever did. We did, there's another theater in Hingham, the company theater that we did, that was also pretty big, but I think the stadium had it beat. But anyway, these are the kind of places I'm looking to feature. So let me know if you know about any, and we'll get them on the list. Right now, let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few.
Only the thrill of boy meeting girl my possess a track. It's physical. Only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than.
And welcome back in. We've got a call that came in, but we've only got about 30 seconds before we have to go into the news. So I'm going to keep you on hold. You can either hang up and call back after the news, or you can hang on and we'll take you as soon as we come back. But I want to make sure that give you ample time.